Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A very warm welcome to St. Margaret's. We've got the double act on today again, so we won't disappoint. Just to say that if on your notice sheet that you've got, there is an error. And the dementia support group, you'll notice it says Monday the 16th of February. Well, there ain't a Monday the 16th of February. It's Thursday the 16th of February. So if you're thinking of coming along to that, then it's Thursday the 16th of February, okay, on there. The website's okay, but that one isn't on there. Secondly, we're going to revert back to this morning to the normal way we took communion before COVID, okay? So when you come up, we're going to kneel at the altar, and there'll be two people on chalice and myself doing the bread. And then if you don't want to take the chalice, just get up and walk away, all right? That saves the queuing that we were having this last 2 or 3 weeks here, okay? So we're going to do it the normal way from 2 years ago. How many can remember 2 years ago? Yeah, I know how you feel on that. Great stuff. Let's just pray for our children before they go out. So, Father, we do bless our children. We bless the leaders as well. Keep them safe, Lord, as they cross that road. I keep them safe too, Lord, as they learn about you. And we just lift them to you. Amen.
Amen.
So let's start our service, our first hymn. 1412, lead us, Heavenly Father, lead us. On page one of our service sheets, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
May grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let's sit on you for our prayers. And we say together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let's confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments, and to live in love and peace with all. And we say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life. To the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, forgive us all who truly repent. Have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness. And keep us in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And our collect for today, which is the second Sunday before Lent. Almighty God, you created the heavens and the earth and made us in your own image. Teach us to discern your hand in all your works and your likeness in all your children. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns supreme over all things, now and forever. Amen. It's time now for our readings, and Maureen and Jean are going to come and do those.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, beginning to read from verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above. And it was so. God called the vault sky. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give them light on earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the waters in the sea and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds and the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And all the beasts on the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the word of the Lord.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Marie and Jean, for those readings. In a few moments, Helen's going to be coming and sharing the gospel word with us. But until then, we'll have hymn number 40, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord, hymn 40.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May I speak in the words of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please do sit down. I wonder how many of us are brave enough to admit that we are worriers. Telling us not to worry is easier said than done, isn't it? There's so much to be concerned about, and rightly. The dreadful happenings globally, our own nation's economic and political situation, our own and our families' health and well-being, our church situation nationally and locally. But is worry such a negative emotion? Are there times when worry is necessary and even beneficial? And what is Jesus saying to us in this morning's gospel? So I want us to look at three questions. What is worry? What sort of an example does Jesus give us? And how can we deal with our own worries and anxieties and live in confidence and in faith? I looked to Wikipedia. Don't often do that, but sometimes. And it tells us, worry refers to the thoughts, images, and emotions of a negative nature in which mental attempts are made to avoid anticipated potential threats. As an emotion, it is experienced as anxiety or concern about a real or imagined issue. Most of us, all of us, I'm sure, experience periods of worry in our lives. And there are times when we worry for good reason. A moderate amount of worry may have positive and productive effects. It could prompt us to take precautions, for example, protecting our home from potential flooding, or avoiding the consequences of risky behaviours such as drug abuse or binge drinking, or taking action to put something right. That kind of worry is probably short-lived. But there's also a type of worry that's unproductive and can be destructive. Sometimes when we worry, we feel out of control, and this is a negative aspect. It involves self-talk that distracts our minds from focusing on possible solutions to the problem at hand. When students become anxious during a test, they might repeatedly tell themselves they're going to fail, that they can't remember what they've revised, or that their teacher will become angry with them if they perform badly. And this negative thinking could prevent focusing on the test. And then the result is wrong, a bad one, not what was expected. So what to do when we're worrying about something? As Christians, it's always good to start by looking at the example of Jesus, isn't it? And he was fairly obviously not a worrier. In today's gospel reading, he tells us not to worry. But when we look closely at that, he only mentions anxiety about specific personal things, our own bodily needs, food, drink, the clothes we wear. He is certainly not saying here that we should never worry at all, but that we should have faith to trust in God that he will provide for our basic needs. Generally, Jesus was a happy, contented person, although there were times, aren't there, where he was in great distress or angry with a particular situation. Excuse me. Bishop Tom Wright says, "We know that according to the Old Testament prophecies, Jesus was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. We know that the darkness and sadness of the whole world descended on him as he went to the cross. That scene in Gethsemane, when he was wrestling with his father's will, is one of the most harrowing stories ever told. We know that he wept when his friend Lazarus died, that he was angry when the sanctity of the temple was abused, and that he struggled when people refused to trust God and see the wonderful things he was doing. But these are exceptions to the rule. As we read a passage like today's, we can see that Jesus has learned to be content with his experience of life. He noticed the birds flying high up on the currents of air in the Galilean hills, simply enjoying being alive. He watched 1,000 different kinds of flowers growing in the local fertile soil. The word lily here implies all different kinds of flowers. And the flowers that were around there in those days were the autumn crocus, the anemone, and the gladiolus. And Jesus marveled at those flowers' amazing, glorious, God-given beauty and frailty. Jesus had a lively, strong sense of the goodness of his Father, who was the creator of the universe. When he told his followers not to worry about tomorrow, we can assume that he was leading them by example. He seems to have had the skill of living totally in the present, celebrating the goodness of God in spite of what he knew lay ahead of him. He gives us a real recipe for a worry-free life. However, when Jesus tells us not to worry about what to eat, drink, or wear, he doesn't mean that these things aren't important. He's simply saying that we need to get our priorities right, that we can trust God to take care of the problems in life. We can lay our worries and concerns at his feet and trust that he will help us through the difficult times. He says, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. As we've already seen, some worry can be productive and lead us to positive action. But at other times, if we can live in the faith that Jesus calls us to, taking steps to trust in the God who loves us and longs for us to be complete in him, then our worries will be minimal, or at least temporary. So I've got quite a long list here of steps we might take to help us when we do worry. Can we be realistic? How often are we worried and anxious about events that might never actually happen? Or that we can do nothing about? That's my thing. I say it and I don't always do it. I don't worry about what I can't control. Not true, I'm afraid. But so can we take life one day at a time, as Jesus obviously could? When we do have anxious times, can we do something to distract ourselves? To think about something different, to do something enjoyable. Perhaps take a break. Have some fun. I read yesterday that gardening can be a wonderful therapy for depression. Digging, apparently, I believe them, releases serotonin in the brain. But I think Derek is better person than me to talk about gardening and how good it is. I don't do it. Are we worrying needlessly? Can we find out more information about the problem to make sure that we are worrying with good cause? And if we have more information, perhaps we can see a way through. A lady I met recently was worried about whether to take a certain course of action out over a holiday. She wasn't sure whether to take her child out of school, with or without permission. But she hadn't asked the question, is this really likely to be a problem? She hadn't actually spoken to the school. And so she was worrying, very worried about it. And it was just driving her mad. I hope that her fears have been relieved by now. The one thing that lady did was share her worries with me. And that's also something that we can do. We can not necessarily keep it all bottled up inside of ourselves. Are we much more likely to come up with solutions when talking to someone about our concerns? In the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs says, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. So perhaps we can swallow our pride and desire for privacy and share with a close friend or get some professional help so that we can have some support in our anxiety. I wonder whether sometimes fear and anxiety are God, or our own conscience, or both, just trying to get our attention. In his letter, Peter says, Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in good time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Perhaps if we think through why we're anxious and confess that anxiety to God and seek his forgiveness, then we can be relieved. That's, of course, why we come to church. What we do in church every week, we come to God in confession, but we can equally do it at home, day by day. And we do have the promise of Jesus that when we confess our sins, we do receive his forgiveness. Finally, and most importantly, we can pray. Philippians says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." God is so much bigger than we can ever hope or imagine. He knows every situation. He knows we care enough to worry, and he cares too. He longs for us to come to him with our concerns and worries. So to sum up, there's nothing wrong with realistically acknowledging and trying to deal with identifiable problems in life. To ignore danger is foolish and wrong, but it's also unhealthy and counterproductive to be immobilized by excessive worry. So let's hang on to our faith, commit our worries to God, and trust him to help us to deal realistically with the needs and welfare both of ourselves and of others. Amen. So as we come into our prayers, let's just have a few moments of quiet as we bring our anxieties and our worries to him now, acknowledging them and trusting that he will help us through. Father, thank you for your great love for us. Thank you that you made us just as we are. Thank you that you will bring us through all our difficulties, all our worries and concerns. We pray for faith that we can know that that will happen for us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And so as we come to our intercessions, we pray for our church, for our world, and for all people according to their needs. Father, we thank you that you have created your church where we can belong, where we can worship you. We pray for these churches in this parish of Holy Trinity and St. Margaret's. We pray, as the advert for the new vicar is going out, that you will sow the seeds of any who are thinking of applying, and that you will guide them in the right way. And we pray for the congregations here, Lord, that they will be ready and excited to welcome a newcomer into their midst. We pray for the General Synod meeting at the moment, with very difficult debates going on. Debates about gender and same-sex marriage and so many other things. We lift all those who are part of the Synod to you this morning, Lord. We pray that you will guide them and show them your way forward. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we lift your world to you. We cry out to you especially for all those connected with the earthquake in Turkey and Syria. We pray for all those who are mourning the loss of loved ones. We pray for the souls of the faithful departed. We pray for all those rescuers who are putting their own lives at risk as they go through the rubble. Father, we cannot imagine what it must be like to be there. We cry out to you that you will be with them, with all those people there. And we continue to pray for Ukraine, Lord, for all those involved in the fight for democracy. We pray for the soldiers and the civilians. We pray for the Russians, that you will soften their hearts. And Lord, wherever in the world there is distress, hunger, poverty, abuse, we cry out to you that you will have mercy and be close to those who need to feel you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember, Lord, all those whom we know to be sick or in any kind of need. We pray for those on our service sheet, for Gail in Wexham Park Hospital, for Jean, for John and Angela, and for Roger Strachan. For Paul and Jean's daughter-in-law, Amanda, and for Caden. And in your own thoughts, please raise to God any you know to be in special need of healing and restoration. Lord, you know the needs of each of these people. We pray that you will bring your healing touch and give them your peace and your comfort. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for all those who are bereaved. Especially this week, we pray for the family of Roy Malcolm Burgess. That he will rest in peace and rise in glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Rejoicing in the fellowship of all your saints, we commend ourselves and all people to your unfailing love. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Len, for that. It's time now for our creed, so please stand. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We're going to have the piece at the end, celebrate it with the Tiger Club. So let's go to our next hymn, 1187, Before the Throne of God Above, 1187. This morning I'm going to be using Eucharistic Prayer 4 on page 13. So Prayer 4 on page 13. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let's give thanks to the Lord our God.
And
so we sit or kneel. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night of betrayal at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And so as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ our risen Lord. So with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise. Lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. We say together, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest." So we turn now to page 17 and we pray the prayer that our Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith and with thanksgiving. Amen. So welcome to Tiger Club. And let's say our final prayer together. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Wow. Are we on, David? Yes, we are. Golly, what have you been doing today then? No, don't stand up, I don't mind. Don't be bossy. They come back from university and they're bossing everybody around. It's no good. What have you been doing today, Oliver? Right, okay. So what can you tell me about that? Who was in that?
Papa taught
it. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Brother.
Brilliant. And what happened?
They had an argument.
They had an argument?
Yeah.
Golly. And what happened then?
They're different
in the end. Right. Okay. Well done. You want to say anything? What did you learn today? Come on, tell me, what did you learn today?
We're doing Jacob and Esau and how they were brothers. They had an argument and Jacob gave him sheep to apologise.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So if you have an argument with Oliver, does he give you a sheep?
No.
No. That's good. Who's going to do the piece? A collective piece. Okay, let's stand up for this then, shall we? Yeah, I've got a mic here. Come on. Can we use this one?
Okay.
All right. Okay, right. Wait, so wait a minute, let's first the front. Okay. Okay, go for it.
Can you define with people you the last of talking about?
And also with you. Let's do that one again, congregation. And also with you. I just think a round of applause for these guys here. Well done. Great, apologies. Okay, so while we're all stood up, let's do our next and final hymn. Whoa. So our final hymn, 1346, In Christ Alone, 1346.
Thank you.
us lift up to you these gifts in your service. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for the blessing. And so may the love of the Lord Jesus Christ draw you to himself, the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service, and the joy of the Lord Jesus fill your hearts. And so may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, with you and your families, those whom you prayed for, those whom you love, this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen. Amen.